Broadcasting live from the Buckhead Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Legal Experts.
Good morning and welcome to another exciting episode of Atlanta Legal Experts. I am your host, Emily Rowell with Peachtree Offices. I have Rich Casanova here in the back. Well, not in the background.
Yeah, I know. You always say that. I'm right here looking at you. 10-2.
Yeah. And we have some wonderful guests today. We are honored to have the Attorney General Sam Olens today, who will be talking about the Georgia legal food frenzy. We have Ashley Holland with the Holland Entertainment Law Group. Good morning.
Good morning.
And what will you be talking about today?
I'm going to be speaking a little bit about our firm and how we can help creatives in the Atlanta community.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And we have Deb Beecham, too, here with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
And I was actually on her show yesterday, which was cool. And Bill Silvis will be joining us later on
in the
show.
Awesome.
So this will be a great
show.
Quite
a lineup. And yeah. Ryan's here going to be doing social media for us, which has already kind of blown up so far. We haven't even started yet.
I know.
Right?
I know. It's awesome.
Good job, Ryan.
I have no idea why.
I know. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I have no idea why.
It's probably, we'll figure this out by the end of the show. Yeah.
Right. So I wanted to let all of our listeners know that Atlanta Legal Experts has been brought to you in part by Peachtree Offices, where you can work virtually anywhere, and 3A Law Practice Management. They help lawyers start and grow their practice, and Atlanta's John Marshall Law School. You can go to AtlantaLegalExperts.com and find all the information on all of the sponsors and also the bio of each of our guests today. So, good morning, Mr. Olens. How are you this morning?
Doing great.
Awesome. I'm so glad that you're here. We are honored to have you here today. I know that we're going to talk a little bit about the Georgia legal food frenzy, which is your reason for being here. We definitely want to get the word out. But I would like to start a little bit about your bio, if that's okay.
Whatever you want.
Sam Olens was reelected to a second term as Georgia's 53rd Attorney General on November 4th, 2014. As Attorney General, Olens is committed to serving Georgians by defending the U.S. and Georgia Constitution and upholding the rule of law. He has fought for stronger laws to protect Georgians. In 2011, he worked with legislators to strengthen the penalties for sex trafficking, making Georgia's law one of the toughest in the nation. In 2012, he spearheaded the first comprehensive revision of Georgia's sunshine laws in more than a decade. In 2013, he led the effort to stem the epidemic of prescription drug abuse with a law that requires pain management clinics to be licensed and regulated. Can you expand a little bit on that law? Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, look, for a while, you would see at strip center signs that say pain clinic, walk-ins welcome. Mm-hmm. So if you had a chest cold and you needed to get an antibiotic, you could call your doctor, and 3 days later you could go in to get medicine. But you could walk right into a strip center and get oxycodone like it was sugar.
Wow. Yeah.
So we have a huge problem. These drugs are very easy to become addicted to. Mm-hmm. Everyone, you know, we see it all age groups, all socio-demographic groups. So it's really important to provide licensing to assure that only the correct people were owning such clinics. I mean, for instance, we had an article in the Wall Street Journal where a used car lot dealer moved into Georgia to open up a pain clinic.
Wow.
You know, I'd sort of like him to stick to cars.
Yeah, no kidding.
So we passed a law, and we've seen a big reduction, and now we actually have a program each fall with high school kids where we ask them to assist us in telling their peers to not do those opioids.
And that is awesome for the kids, and that's kind of why we're here today, is feeding the kids, but also helping the kids. I mean, they're obviously the next generation. I don't have to say that, but I did anyway. But that is huge, because I know I've heard a lot about like depression medication or antidepressants and how they're actually causing kids to commit suicide. And so it's that and the pain medication that you're talking about. I mean, that's just, and you can get it on the street, and that some of these prescriptions are just as dangerous as cocaine, on the same level as cocaine. And
well, and with the kids getting addicted to the pain pills, we see an uptick, big uptick in heroin. And the problem with heroin is it's considered a better high and it's a cheaper high. So it's actually about a third of the cost for the kids to then get hooked on heroin rather than the oxys.
So it's almost like a gateway, the oxys.
Absolutely.
That's really scary. So I'll go on. In 2013, Olens was elected by his peers to chair the Southern Region of the National Association of Attorney General. Olens currently serves on numerous National Associate Attorney General committees to include substance abuse, human trafficking, law enforcement, and prosecutorial relations. Wow, that was good. Elections and financial services, consumer protection. Prior to being elected Attorney General, he was chairman of the Cobb County Board of Commissioners, serving from August 2002 to 2010. And he devotes much of his time assisting various nonprofit organizations. So that is exactly what we're talking about today, the fourth annual Georgia Legal Food Frenzy. Tell me how you got involved in that.
Well, I've known Bill Bowling for many years, and he's the gentleman who's done such a fantastic job at the Atlanta Community Food Bank. Started at a small church with a pantry, and now it's one of the leading food banks in the whole country.
Wow.
And Bill went up to me about a program that was started in Virginia, where the lawyers in Virginia were asked to contribute to the food banks in the state for the children. We unfortunately live in a state where approximately 60% of our public school children are eligible for free or reduced lunch. And you see teachers bringing cereal in to the classroom in the morning.
Wow.
You see teachers bringing brown bags on Friday to help these kids on the weekend. Well, the purpose of our program, the Legal Food Frenzy, is who's helping these kids over the 9 to 10 weeks of the summer vacation.
Sure.
Because, you know, those same kids that need lunch during the school day need food over the summer.
Right, right. And tell me, how many years has the drive been held?
So this is the fourth year. It finishes this Friday. The prior years, we've raised the equivalent of £2.5 million.
Wow.
The goal this year is $1.25 million. Each year, we have about a 30% uptick, which is scaring me because there's only so many years you can keep doing a 30% uptick.
Right.
So we're hoping last year was 1.14 million pounds of food. This year, we're looking at $1.25 million. But if we hit 1.3, then we would be right with Virginia. So it's about time for Georgia to surpass Virginia in this process.
That would be awesome. That would be absolutely awesome. And I know that the legal professionals and the law firms all over the state are participating. And it's kind of funny because it's like a battle to see who gets the most, who raises the most money. And I know that one of our past guests, Joe Hibachi, he was the big winner last year.
Yeah, Joe was very aggressive. He literally just called up his friends and said, look, you're wealthy, write a check. and we're happy for Joe to do that. Because, you know, I mean, once again, this is for the kids. And and Joe has made it known that he plans on winning for the second year in a row.
Good.
So
is he winning right now? I think he's second to top.
Well,
last time I saw.
He's first or second, but, you know, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but lawyers tend to be a little competitive.
Oh, just a little
just
bit.
Slightly, yeah.
Yeah, and
and what's amazing, it's not a huge law firm, right?
No, but frankly, we handle it based on per lawyer.
Oh, okay.
So, for instance, Kilpatrick may have the most money at the moment. I think they're actually number two at the moment. But it's divided per attorney to make it fair, because if that was the case, the sole practitioner or the small firm would be out of play.
Right.
Right, right. So how much food and where do they go? You know, a lot of food actually occurs during Thanksgiving and Christmas. So how much food is collected? And like you said earlier, it's about the summer months. So.
Yeah, I mean, historically, no one was dealing with the summer months. So that's why we do it right with Law Day every year. That's why we do it for the end of April, beginning of May.
Mm-hmm.
This provides much needed food and money for the 8 regional food banks in our state. And let me just admit, we're looking for money. You know, we collect food. We want the food to be the proteins.
Mm-hmm.
But we really want money. And the reason we want money is if you're a certified food bank with the United States Department of Agriculture, they can take that $1 you give and stretch it to 8.
Wow.
Gotcha. For bulk.
Yeah, for the bulk. So it's all about, you know, if you go to Costco, Sam's Club, you know, you buy something on sale at Publix or Kroger, that's not 1 to 8.
Right.
So
right.
The whole idea is, you know, if you give $100, that's the equivalent of $800.
Wow. That's awesome. That is awesome. So tell me, how is it distributed? That's kind of what I was getting to before.
Well, that's the really neat thing about it is it's a statewide competition, mm-hmm. and the money stays where it's collected.
Okay.
So, for instance, if you're in Valdosta, it's staying in Southwest Georgia. So we have 275 firms so far that have signed up for this year's competition. Approximately half, I believe 130, are from Metro Atlanta. The other are from all over the state.
Okay.
So we have, for instance, 30 firms from Savannah, 30 firms roughly from Macon. But the money that's collected there stays there. So, and the really neat thing is the winners are all over the state. You know, you can't have a statewide competition and have all the winners like Joe Bing from Atlanta.
Right.
So
right.
A past big winner was from Warner Robins.
Okay, wow.
He had a Christian rock band, speaking of entertainment law. And what he did is he played a couple free concerts, and he literally asked everyone to write checks or to put money during the concert. If you like the concert, put up a check. And so he was the winner the year before Joe.
Okay, that would do it.
Absolutely.
That is awesome.
Don't give away all Joe's secrets, though, whatever, yeah.
And you call, and then you play in a band. Right, right. You got to be creative on these things.
It really is true. You know, so, for instance, in our firm, we tell the lawyers and the staff, if you wear jeans this Friday, you know, just please volunteer some money into the basket towards the food frenzy.
Sure. Sure.
So lawyers aren't really so good on creativity as they are on competitiveness. So you try and mix the two together.
Sure. And they always get a bad name. And that's one of the reasons why I have the show, is for them to talk about the good that they do. And this actually really showcases their good and how they really can be good. And they're not such terrible people like everybody wants to say.
Well, and the other really good thing is we go through the Young Lawyers Division, so that's age 36 and under. So it gives a law firm the ability to go up to one of their young lawyers and say, so you keep telling me you want to be active. This is a great way for you to show that energy. Mm-hmm. Get out there in the community. Go to your local newspaper. Go to the Chamber of Commerce, Rotary, Kiwanis.
Mm-hmm. And network.
And network.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to ask you about that, the Young Lawyers Division. So they take the lead on this?
Absolutely.
But they then rally support of across all the firms?
They're the boots on the ground.
Okay.
So we work every year with the president of the State Bar, Patrice Perkins Hooker. We work every year with the president of Young Lawyers Division, Sherry Edenfield. And we sit there and we get the leadership to really be our boots on the ground throughout the state. Yeah. But the young lawyers have the energy. The young lawyers sit there, you know, they deal with the social media more than the 55-year-olds. And they sit there and they really push it, which is great.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how much social media play does this further the cause?
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
I mean, let's face it, nowadays, social media is everything.
Right.
That the whole idea of saying, okay, I'm going to put an ad on TV, it's an awful lot of money for very little gain.
Right, right.
Uh-oh, there I just perturbed all the TV folks. That
That's okay, we're radio. You're safe. Yeah. You didn't say radio, plus, we don't sell advertising, so you're good either way.
So social media is, you know, little cost and big gain.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to ask you, there's a law school division as well. Can you tell me about that?
So Virginia didn't have a law school division, and I hadn't planned on a law school division. But you know those aggressive lawyers before they become lawyers are aggressive law students?
Gotcha.
So I literally had UGA and Mercer kids bothering me. Why wasn't there a law school division? So about the third time they followed me, I said, okay, we'll create a law school division. Mercer won the first 2 years, and the last 2 years, Georgia State won.
Oh, wonderful.
So for those of us that went to, for instance, Emory Law School, we're still waiting for our law school to wake up.
Okay, yeah.
Because the law students... You're
making all kinds of friends here, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, look, this is all about kids.
Yeah, yeah, that's
and, true. And the law students at all the schools need to be doing a better job. So John Marshall, UGA, Emory, pick it up.
Put some fire under them, yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, Mercer was really, you know, excited to win the first year, and then they almost doubled the amount they collected year two. So it's gotten harder. Wow. Georgia State won year three, and Georgia State had a big increase this year too.
Right.
We do the students earlier than the lawyers because we don't want it to conflict with their finals.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah, because this is right at final time.
I
know. I have two at home. So even though we are doing these 2 weeks, and obviously it's really important, it's all fun and games, but it's all for the kids.
Right.
Any time of year you can go and donate to the Georgia Food Bank Association.
Well, absolutely. And you donate to the food bank in your area. So in Metro Atlanta, that's the Atlanta Community Food Bank. So it's tax deductible. And we tell folks, you know, you can go online. It's galegalfoodfrenzy.org, galegalfoodfrenzy.org. Or you can sit there and just write a check.
Yeah.
And by definition, it's tax deductible. So, you know, you have a deduction, but more importantly, the kids have food.
Right, right. And this just really spreads the word, this whole race to the to the finish line, which is this Friday.
Said. And it's still time for people to go on. You just go on that website again, galegalfoodfrenzy.org. See, I learned that about media if you just mentioned it, you know.
Exactly.
Over and over again.
But by definition, I mean, so, you know, we had 1 year, we have several divisions. So we have the big firm, the medium firm, the small firm, the solo, mm-hmm. the law students. So 1 year, Georgia Tech had a we have a government section where my office, for instance, is. Mm-hmm. We have judges, DA's offices, public defenders. So 1 year, Georgia Tech had one of the professors write a check for $5,000.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Dang.
Well, what a surprise. Georgia Tech won that category that year thanks to that professor.
Sure.
So that's
sure.
What, 5,000 you said? That's what, 40,000?
That's $40,000 worth of product.
Dude. Wow, yeah.
That's so that awesome. Makes it that makes a big difference. And, you know, when you think about giving back, you can have a much bigger impact on this program for kids than you can with so many other nonprofits. You know, we talk in Atlanta all the time about traffic congestion. We talk about a whole bunch of issues. But, you know, if the kids don't have food, then you really don't have to worry about education. You really don't have to worry about how you get there. I mean, food's as basic as it comes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, one of the necessities. So definitely hoping to get the word out today with this show. We do actually have a lot of attorneys listening today. So if you have not done so, get on that website.
The website is galegalfoodfrenzy.org. And if you know a lawyer that you write checks to, you can call him and say, are you in this competition? And if not, join
listeners.
Today.
Yes. Thank you so much. It's so great that you're on board with this. I mean, that's just absolutely huge because obviously your name out there spreads the word as well.
Well, we all help together, but literally the Young Lawyers Division, those young attorneys, I can't thank them enough. They do a great, great job.
That's great. Thank you so much. It was such an honor to have you here today. Oh, we do have another question.
Yeah, just one question for Mr. Olens about the winner and when you award the Attorney General's Cup. When does that take place and how can people get involved to tune in or maybe show up watch the presentation?
So we have that every year at the State Bar headquarters, which is right on Marietta Street. We advertise it. We invite folks to come to it. And we have the big cup that they hold on to for a year when they're like Joe, when they're the overall winner, Joe Hibachi.
Boy, Joe, his pressure's on Joe today, yeah.
Well, you know, I have confidence in his ability to raise money.
Yeah, nice.
And then all the other winners, you know, the large firm, medium firm, et cetera, we all have awards for them too. And we have a little reception. We've got some food and drink there, you know, hors d'oeuvres, that type of thing. But it's really a great way for lawyers to give back for their community. You know, when you think of it, how are we possibly going to watch these kids get ahead in life if they can't have sufficient nutrition? And this is a great way for lawyers to make a big difference.
And what a genius idea, the gap during the summer when they're out of school, because like you said, surprisingly, the number of kids that rely on the meals
food.
For their
mm-hmm.
providing the schools.
Now, Virginia doesn't do it in the summer. So so that was this one good idea I get every decade we would do it over the summer.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, not to put you on the spot, but are we always looking for a scoop? So is there something new for next year you have on the docket or in your personal or professional life or something that you can share or another event coming up you want to
So last year was our first year where we went to the high school students for their prescription drug abuse. So that's the thing we're going to be pushing next because that we do in the fall. So we go to the high schools. I talked last fall to about 6,000 students. We hope to at least double it this year. And then what happens is we ask the kids to do a 30-second video.
Okay.
And if they win, that video is shown statewide on TV.
Wow.
We have TV reporters that judge the finalists, that judge the winners. And then these kids get to see their 30-second PSA, public service announcement, over the state.
Was that your idea, too?
That was with me and our communications director, Lauren Kane. So we work in tandem.
Sure.
But, you know, when you get involved in an issue like the pill mills and then you start seeing
what's going on.
And Kentucky, frankly, was doing some work in that area. So when you see someone that's got a good idea,
borrow it. So long as it furthers the cause. I mean, it
absolutely.
Doesn't matter whose credit it gets, whatever.
So for instance, Alabama, the Attorney General of Alabama's gotten together with his state bar. They're now going to do the food drive next year.
Oh, awesome.
So the more states that do it, the more kids are going to have food.
So from a business perspective, so do y'all network on a regular basis?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, do you have annual conferences or?
We have meetings about every 3 months.
Okay.
And I think you've been to a couple churches, I've heard, after talking about meeting you last week.
I have been to more churches, but the reason I smile a little bit is the typical topic in the church is sex trafficking.
Wow.
Which is one of those areas that we spend a lot of time on, training law enforcement and training the community what the signs are. And if you would have ever told me I'd be going once every week or two into a church talking about sex trafficking, I would have said no. But
the
churches are very engaged, and they're great partners for us.
Yeah, we had a show recently about that, and it's staggering, the statistics here for Georgia. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of work that needs to be done.
Well, the more you get involved, the more you find out how deep the problem is. And we have the first statewide prosecutor that all she does is sex trafficking, Kamala Wright.
Yep.
So she's been really good with that. So we have cases we're working together in Metro, working together elsewhere in the state. It's a big, big issue.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Yeah. This is a big focus for My Advocate Center and Pro Advocate Radio. So we had our guest Tammy Kennedy, who works with Tim Echols on that. So I followed closely Senator Unterman's campaigns and did a lot of social media in the background.
Yeah, SB8 and SR7 will hopefully get signed shortly by the governor. Those were the two big bills this session. So we clearly assist in that regard.
Thank you.
When we talk about going to the churches, Senator Unterman and I are regulars on those programs.
Not just on Sundays, huh?
Well, and Senator Unterman, I mean, let's face it, she was the original spark to that legislation. And now we've got some young folks, Chuck Extration, Andy Welch, that are helping on the House side. But Renee gets a lot of credit for her leadership over the years.
It's so exciting, and that's something that people around the country are watching, and it's giving people a lot of hope. So, and Senator Unterman agreed to come on the show here soon, too.
Great.
So.
Now, to give another website for information on sex trafficking, notbuyingit.org is our website for the sex trafficking, and it's becoming a national model. So, for instance, Street Grace, one of the nonprofits that's really good in this area, excellent, that we work with. Cheryl DeLuca Johnson's going with me to our national meeting in San Diego to talk about notbuyingit.org. Indiana's on board. Arizona is using a bunch of it. We have more and more states that are following that Georgia model of what we've done here.
So notbuyingit.org. And for our listeners, that was Deb Beecham, the host of Pro Advocate Radio, chiming in on that topic. And so, Sam, I'm sure... Deb and, of course, Emily would love to have you back, in at least in the fall, when you kick off the high school campaign.
Sure. We call it We're Not Going to Take It.
Nice.
Sounds like a Twisted Sister.
It's amazing how you...
It's a generation thing, right? Yeah.
I just aged myself right there.
Well, you did earlier when you said you had two with finals.
Yeah, that's true, too. Well, my daughter will be in high school. I was thinking while you were talking that my daughter will be in high school, not this coming up year, but the year after. So that really shed a tear.
Yeah.
Can't believe it. But
it's a pleasure having you on the show.
Yes. My honor.
I know you got other places to be, so appreciate your time here.
Thank you.
Yeah, we really consider it an honor. Thank you.
And Emily, I think we got a head nod and okay for come back in the fall.
I know.
Possibly, right?
And it was on the radio, so you had to.
We didn't put you on the spot. I know you have a busy agenda.
No, that's no problem. Right. I mean, look, all the issues we're involved in, the food, the sex trafficking, the prescription drugs, happy to assist and to have your assistance.
Absolutely. We're here for you.
Yes, absolutely. Right. Thank you.
Absolutely. So thanks again. Just want to remind our listeners, listening to Atlanta Legal Experts Radio, the home of Atlanta professionals and in the legal community, and helping get the word out. And you have some other guests.
Yes, we do.
Waiting to grab the microphone.
Listening. Yep. Yes, yes. So we do have Ashley Holland here today with the Holland Entertainment Law Group.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We're so glad that you're here. And I will go ahead and start reading your bio. It was so interesting to me, your history and what you've done so far. Since birth, Ashley Holland has been immersed in the arts, and that's why I'm interested in that. Defining herself as an artist and advocate for the creative community, by the time she reached high school, Ashley's visual artwork had been featured both at the High Museum of Art as well as at the Twin Towers of the Floyd Building in Atlanta, Georgia. She attended college at Duke University, where she earned a Bachelor of Arts with a double major in public policy and visual art, art history, and spent a semester studying art and art history in Florence, Italy, at Studio Art Centers International. And I just want to know the turn, the twist, whatever it took for you to get into law. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, I've always really wanted to help people. I was raised by a family that was probably about half artist and half business people. So that was a really interesting setting for me to grow up and see both sides of it. So I certainly have understood the stress that's placed on starving artists and that question of, you know, wanting to create your art, but also trying to balance that with achieving a career where you can actually support yourself on that with also, you know, wanting to make sure that you've established your business properly and are doing everything within the constraints of the law. So helping my clients to achieve that has been a real joy in being surrounded by creative people. My background includes a lot of other areas of law as well. So I've really tried to define all of my career by helping others. And this is by far my favorite because, as you know, I have an art background myself. So this is more where my soul lives as well as my clients.
Now I can see the connection, the art and the entertainment law, for sure.
Correct, yes.
We have a little bit of art history in ours. I grew up in dance. My daughter's in dance, and my sister's an artist. You'll see some of her art in the not in the studio, but in the suites here.
Oh, I believe I did, actually. I was wondering whose that was.
I'm quite
fond of that myself.
Thank you. So she actually focuses her practice on entertainment, like we said, music and art clients, and serves as a volunteer lawyer with the Tennessee Volunteer Lawyers and Professionals for the Arts, as well as Georgia Lawyers for the Arts. She's active in multiple bar associations, including the Georgia Bar, where she is a member of the Sports and Entertainment Law Section, and the American Bar Association, where she is a member of the Forum on Entertainment and Sports Industries and the Business Law Section. So we've kind of talked about your background a little bit. Tell me a little bit more about how you established the Holland Entertainment Law Group.
Sure. Well, through some connections right out of law school, I had the opportunity to move to Nashville and was lucky enough to shadow an attorney named Bob Sullivan, who was a partner at Loeb & Loeb up there. Some of his more notable clients included Johnny Cash, the estate of Elvis. He worked some with the Grateful Dead, Carrie Underwood. So I really had a great opportunity to shadow him and really learn from the best while also working with Tennessee Volunteer Lawyers for the Arts. That was right around when the market was crashing, so it seemed to be in my best interest to come back to Atlanta, which is my hometown, and learn a little bit more here, take the Georgia Bar, and I had the opportunity to work for King & Spalding, which, of course, is a big firm in town, which is a great experience. After that, I was offered a role as corporate counsel and vice president of a group of dealerships, rounding out my corporate experience. And from that point, I knew I really wanted to be free to help the clients that I chose to help, meaning some that may have money, some that may not, and really serve them by assisting my clients help to achieve their goals. So, you know, whether that's been in a context of winning a trial, I mean, I won an armed robbery trial a couple years ago.
Oh, wow.
We've got some trial experience on our team, down to corporate planning, but really, as I mentioned, my favorite love in the art community and in the law community is helping creatives. I really love being able to see an artist with big dreams, might even seem insurmountable, being able to effectuate a very strategic plan with outline goals, very clear steps and milestones along the way so that they can track their progress and really then be able to see some results and make some money with their art.
Awesome. And so tell me a little bit more detail about the clients that you represent.
Sure. We work with a really wide, vast array across the entertainment realm. We've got touring bands, too, to keep on the radar. We've got Tyler Hammond recently featured on 94.9 The Bull's Backyard Country on Saturday. I think he'll be on there again. We've also got a band called Bloodkin out of Athens that's been in Rolling Stone. So we've got some heavy hitters in the music realm. We also work with solo artists, composers. We've got producer clients who work both in TV and film, but also in the music video space. We have actors, management companies, as well as other small entertainment businesses that are less on the creative side but more on the business side, as well as authors. And we've also got some app developers, so we're a little bit into gaming and apps as well.
Yeah. I'm sure that crossed paths a lot.
It does, you know, and there's also some similarity in sports law. A couple of us do have some sports background as well on my team, so we've touched into that area. We try to stay out of the agency realm. We don't do much pitching, but we do a lot of negotiating and helping clients form, as I said, strategic plans with their businesses in addition to other entertainment law tasks.
So it's kind of like, because they have a passion for what they do, but they probably don't know how to run a business. So you kind of help them in that area too?
We do. And, you know, from our perspective, if you're a creative, you don't need to be worrying about all the tiny business details. I mean, we certainly encourage our clients to be very involved and understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. We're trying to teach some business and life skills so that they don't always need to rely only on their team. But we also help our clients form a solid team so that they're free to be able to really tend to their art or their music or whatever that is, instead of being worried about the minutiae of, you know, what does my accounting statement mean? Instead, we really help to establish a solid team and a solid plan so that they're able to focus on what they do best and what they want to do best.
I like that. That's probably helpful for them, because that's how kind of how I feel. I like to do what I'm good at and leave the rest for somebody else to
absolutely, do. Absolutely. And especially if you can make money doing that. I mean, if your time is most valuable in another space, then we try to help hammer out those details so that you can focus on that.
So who else is a part of your team? You talked about your team. How many people are in your team? And
well, I have two fantastic attorneys that are working on a contract basis with the firm. The first is an attorney named Oryx Steele, and he brings quite a bit to the table. He's actually, and I guess I should step back a moment, I'm licensed in Georgia and Tennessee, so I'm able to practice law in those states. Oryx is actually licensed in New York, Georgia, California, and Kentucky. So between the two of us, we've really got all of the entertainment hubs set. We do spend time in LA and New York and Nashville. I'm frequently in Nashville and Athens and Atlanta myself. So between that, we really have an array of clients and can look at everything on a national and international scale. We spend quite a bit of time in the local Atlanta community. We do have feet on the ground at meetings with groups, you know, all around, including the NAREP group, which is the National Association of Record Industry Professionals. We're very active there, as well as Georgia Lawyers for the Arts, as was mentioned. But we do have, as I said, more of a national reach. Mm-hmm. We are looking for clients on an international scale and a national scale, knowing that, especially in the digital age, our clients aren't limited just to the local community. Their art can be sold and can be really promoted on a national and international scale, and there are streams of revenue waiting to be tapped into in the international market. So we're really trying to keep that in focus for our clients as well and open up opportunities beyond just the Atlanta city limits.
It sounds like there's hope for the starving artist.
There is. To round out the rest of our team, Julie Kessler Roach is another attorney who's been working with us. She has a background helping Georgia Lawyers for the Arts and is also currently working some with Live Nation, and she's also been a great help. She's largely responsible for our fantastic social media posts. So for anyone interested in following us, we've got Twitter and Facebook both up, and Julie's been great keeping our news current and providing some quality content for our viewership.
I'm very artsy. I'm going to be following you for sure, because
I'm very much into
music, obviously, since I grew up in dance and a whole array of music.
Well, so I'm sure you're more talented than I am in that respect. I'm better behind the scenes, but
I'm a little rusty. We talked about my age earlier. I'm not liking this show anymore.
So, Ashley, real quick, Rich Kasten over here.
Sure.
So very passionate. I mean, anybody listening to the show cannot deny your passion and excitement about what you're doing. But what's your challenge? I mean, what challenges do you face?
Well, you know, this space is very quickly evolving. Staying on top of current technology is certainly a task. And with the changing technology, the laws tend to be even more lagging behind. I mean, we hear on the media all the time issues with how we're protecting our artist work, issues with copyright. You know, where do we draw those lines of what work is yours and what work is mine? We've heard about the Blurred Lines trial, supposedly using work. You know, where is the line between what's an inspiration and what's stolen work? But also, what platforms are appropriate to put your music on? We've heard about Taylor Swift pulling all of her media from certain platforms and only using others. So it really can be just a dizzying maze for artists who don't have either the availability or just don't even know where to start, trying to figure out what are the rules that govern what they're trying to do and where's the best place for them to try to put their art in a safe way where it's protected, but also reaches their audience. So I think staying on top of technology and trying to figure out the laws that govern it is certainly the biggest challenge. Well,
looks like Deb, you have a question.
Yeah, I'm observing. Thanks, Emily, for letting me sit in.
Absolutely.
So I have Pro Advocate Radio, and I look at all different areas where we advocate for each other. And I was here looking at the Georgia Legal Food Frenzy. And so I'm learning about an area of law that I really have had very little exposure to, and it's very exciting. You really are an expert in your field, and it's impressive. So, but what you were just saying tells me that you're way more than a law firm. You're a real advocate.
We are. I mean, we've become a part of our team for a lot of our clients. So we view it in that respect. We take it very seriously. And, you know, we view our clients' successes as our successes, too. So it's far more than just a job. We all, actually all three of us on our team come from art backgrounds ourselves. We never entered this space just to make money. It was always about promoting art and really being an advocate for the community. So we view every task that we have from that viewpoint.
That's great. So we can not only hear the passion, we can see it here in the studio. And she has a big, beautiful smile.
Well, great. I appreciate that.
I got another quick question. So what's on the horizon? I mean, what's next? You mentioned things. You got a lot of spinning plates and things change so quickly. But is there anything that you anticipate around the corner here?
Well, we actually do have some very exciting projects in the process of launching some new entertainment entities that I can't talk much about right now.
Oh, come on, give us a scoop. We're always looking for a scoop. We won't tell anybody.
We've got some big ones. I've got some very talented producer clients in Nashville who are responsible for the Rascal Flatts Changed video, and they're providing some excellent content on a streaming platform that we'll be able to announce more soon. But I'm thrilled to see what they've got in the works, and we'll see. We've got quite a few great projects, both locally and beyond. So,
good job, Ashley. Like, not giving away the secrets. I think she just invited her back for a future show, right? I'll tell you next time.
Yeah. Follow us on social media, and we'll make sure we have gotten permission from a number of our clients to post some of their stuff as well. So you'll be able to keep track of what we're doing, as well as some of our top clients as well.
What's the Twitter handle?
Sure, it's at Holland Lawyer. And just to be tricky, Holland does not have a D on the end of it. So it's at HollandLawyer.
And you didn't shorten the name just for Twitter, right? This has been around for a while.
I didn't. Honestly, I would have made it easier if I could have. I'm engaged and about to get married, and my last name will be Couch. So that should make it a little bit easier.
With a K or a C?
With a C. With a C, yep. We'll just do it as a logo with a picture from now on. Make sure we've got our trademark set.
So we'd love to give our audience some advice, just a little bit of advice. So tell me, what is your key advice for entertainment industry professionals in the Atlanta market and beyond?
I would say, you know, get a game plan, find some solid individuals that you trust, and that doesn't necessarily preclude your parents and your family and your best friend, but, you know, also you want to make sure that you're reading what's in the news, staying on topics, doing your research. You know, it's great to just go out there and do your art, but on the back end, start studying. I think that every day is an opportunity to learn a little bit more, whether you're an attorney or an artist or anyone else. And if you really seek every opportunity as an opportunity to learn, I think that there's really no way you won't be successful.
And I've thought of, as I was interviewing you, I've thought of other people that I want to introduce you to for sure, like past guests or not just some attorneys, but other individuals as well.
Well, that would be fantastic. I'm always very excited to meet anyone new.
So you also work with other attorneys, I'm sure, to help you kind of create a team. You talked about branding and trademarks, and we just had a show on that last week, actually. So would a trademark attorney be a good referral for you?
We actually do some of that stuff in-house.
Oh, you do?
Actually,
okay.
We do. We can help with the registrations, and I have a bit of litigation experience. Arik actually has more federal litigation experience.
Okay.
We do outsource trademarks. We don't get anywhere near those because that's something that really is best handled by a patent attorney.
Sure.
So we do outsource that stuff as well as some other matters. Family law is another area where we've got a great attorney, Randy Kessler, that we would suggest seeking his advice. Also,
He's
Lindsay Reese is a great attorney for family law as well. So we do send out some referrals when necessary. I have practiced criminal law, but we outsource that as well at this point, although there is occasionally the intersection between entertainment and criminal.
Occasionally,
yes. We hope our clients don't find themselves in that spot, but we've got a great team when they do.
Sure. Now, tell me where your office is located, and I know you serve everywhere, but...
Sure. We're in the Atlanta city limits. We're right across the street from Cumberland Mall and the Galleria Office Park, and actually our building overlooks the new Braves Stadium, so anyone interested in seeing
the bird's eye view... Yeah. Sold.
Come sneak in. It's a big dirt pile right now, but I'm sure it'll be beautiful soon.
And how do our listeners get in touch with you?
Sure. You can call our main number, which is 678-385-5902. We've got a great reception that can field those calls. And I try to individually touch on every client call, so don't be surprised if you hear back from me directly.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. It was a pleasure having you.
Well, thank you. And I guess I should add my URL as well. It's www.hollandlaw.com.
Great.
Thank you.
All right. We just want to remind our listeners, you're listening to AL Radio, which is also known as Atlanta Legal Experts Radio Talk Show, highlighting relevant topics in the legal community. And I know you have some sponsors part of the show here as well.
Peachtree Offices, which is work virtually anywhere. They do virtual offices, anything from an address all the way to a full-time office for those people in between, like working from home and not necessarily a huge
And they
company.
Can have a great Buckhead address and from just an address all the way up to a full suite, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
All right.
And then 3A Law Practice Management, Alvaro Arauz is the owner of that practice, and he helps lawyers start and build their practice.
Alvaro's a great guy.
Yes, absolutely. He's been on the show a couple times.
All right.
So thank you so much for listening. And we have, last but not least by any means,
our anchor man. That's what we call
Bill
Sobolas.
I knew I said it wrong. Sobolas. Thank you. Close. Bill Sobolas is the owner of the law office of William Sobolas, PC. Prior to starting his own firm in 2011, he provided legal-related services to a local accounting firm, which covered an extensive range of both businesses and personal tax issues. Even before that, upon graduating from law school in 2008, Mr. Sobolas handled a wide variety of civil litigation cases, along with estate and business law matters throughout New York's Capital Region as an associate attorney with his former employer. Mr. Sobolas is admitted to practice in the states of Georgia and New York, as well as the United States Tax Court. And we've been talking about passion today. And when I met with you last week, I really felt that from you about helping your clients. So tell me, who do you work with and how did you get into it?
Yeah, first, I just think it's important to note that we're going from the Georgia Attorney General to an entertainment lawyer now talking about death and taxes. So I should probably have spearheaded instead of been the anchor. But how did I get...
Leave it up to AL Radio.
Exactly, right?
How did I get...
We break all the rules.
Yeah. I was practicing in New York, but I'm from here. Mm-hmm. And I was very involved in real estate up there. I worked for the Attorney General Real Property Bureau up there and everything. And a CPA that I used to work for down here, who also is a registered investment advisor and owned an investment advisory firm, asked me if I wanted to come down and work as more of the legal arm of the accounting firm.
Okay.
And, you know, it was obviously at the time when no jobs were available, and my wife had a great job at Home Depot at UPS. But we figured, you know, since UPS is headquartered in Atlanta, we'll be able to make an easy transition down here. I'll have a job. She'll have a job. And of course, nobody was giving up their jobs.
No
transfer.
No.
But anyway, we made the move, and it worked out great. And now, so I've been assisting the. I initially worked for the accounting firm as the legal arm, and now I just work hand in hand with them for all the legal matters that deals with tax compliance and any sort of tax planning.
And so you did develop your own business. So tell me a little bit about that.
I did. It just seemed like the right thing to do because I was doing so much on my own with the firm, but then also on my own, including also a lot of estate planning, again, death and taxes, and also anything with financial people who have issues with, okay, now I've accumulated a lot of wealth. Well, how do I make sure that that doesn't fall susceptible to creditors, judgment holders, anything like that? So more protecting wealth as well.
So you could be a good, you know, partner with Ashley.
Absolutely. I'm going to need to get your card.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you definitely named some people that have a lot of money.
So. Can I get their card to you? Yeah.
So tell me, who do you focus on? What's your mainly your clientele?
Ideally, it's the entrepreneur that has a lot of different business ventures, has money coming in from various sources, and making sure that those are segregated correctly, that we're completely in compliance, and again, ways to make sure that what you have isn't going to be lost one day.
And tell me, how do you protect the already successful business owners against these creditors?
Well, you know, the first and easiest thing we do is, we don't want to just do things on our own, called sole proprietorships.
Sure.
The easiest free advice I can give is make sure every single business that you have, you properly formulate your LLC.
Perfect.
And that's anything that you hear from your LegalZoom commercials, whatever. If it is just you, it really is that simple. You can use that service. It's just fine. But once you start getting into partnerships and everything, I do recommend that you have your own personal attorney to be able to work out the necessary documents or whatever. I mean, people can think it's easy and straightforward, but what happens if there's a divorce, or what happens if there's a death or something? That you want to be, you know, partners with your ex business partner's wife. I mean, you want to make sure that those agreements are all in place. But once we do that, then, you know, also we can look at different investments and different vehicles where what you put in those vehicles is protected from creditors. Qualified retirement plans, you want to make sure that you max those out. In different states, cash value whole life policies are protected up to a certain amount. I think everybody probably remembers, maybe I can throw a name out there, OJ moved to Florida after his criminal
case.
Mm-hmm. Why was that? Well, Florida has an unlimited homestead exemption. So you can have a $10 million house in Florida and nobody can get to it. Whereas in Georgia, it's only approximately $50,000 for a married couple.
Wow.
So different states realize they put more of a desire to maybe get those types of people to either come there or set up their plans mm-hmm. in those states. Just because we don't live in a state doesn't mean we can't take advantage of what they offer. We can set up trusts, we can set up businesses in those states,
wow.
and we can take advantages.
Okay.
So again, clients coming in, telling me what they have, and really creating the a plan that's suitable for them, because there is no one size fits all.
Sure. That's awesome. So you have to keep abreast of all the different states and all their laws and everything.
Yes. I'm part of the Asset Protection Society. It's a group of lawyers all throughout the country.
Gotcha.
Because I don't think one person could keep up with everything.
Sure.
So you got to be able to leverage your other colleagues in the area.
Sure. And speaking of that, I'll just kind of ask a side question here. So other attorneys that you work with?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, different types of attorneys?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of attorneys don't, you know, the tax and financial matters and everything, I would say that not the majority of attorneys. I mean, most attorneys are trying cases and trying to, you know, get big contingency fees and everything. I don't have any of that.
Sure. It's a different spin today on Mail Radio. Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, any attorneys who don't practice in that area and, you know, leave their financial matters up to their client. I mean, I think you should always have a good CPA and a good attorney. And, you know, I know a lot about taxes, but when it comes down to, you know, what is the, what's the current laws and what's the current ways to best tax plan for taxes, you know, that's a CPA's job. That's not necessarily my job. I just know the laws behind.
Right. So you mentioned like the easy places to go online to get, which I'm not going to say it again, to get these forms and documents. But what would it be? I mean, obviously it's better to seek you and to seek a professional to do these things. And why is that?
Again, if you're a sole proprietor and you're just starting a business all by yourself or whatever, I imagine I don't know the platform that well, but I imagine you can, it's pretty straightforward. It's mm-hmm. really not that hard. But again, it's when you have either established a business or you're going to put money into a business right away, not mm-hmm. necessarily just, hey, picking up and whatever I have come in during the month is what's in the account. But if you're going to invest in the business, mm-hmm. either by yourself or with partners, I think then it's very important to properly form the business. Make sure you have your buy-sell agreements. Make sure you have your operating agreements with your triggering causes of, hey, something is going to happen. If we get if we die, you know, is there going to be key man life insurance? You know, those types right. of things as well, make to buy out the spouse or something. I mean, I think that anytime there's more money involved and more risk, that's when you need to seek somebody who practices in this area and not just do more of a do-it-yourself or your criminal attorney or your personal injury attorney who might dabble in the area.
Sure.
And I think that those attorneys would, you know, back me up completely with that. Just right. like if somebody comes to me because hey, they got arrested.
If OJ, yeah. came to you, whatever. Yeah,
I don't know, but I got plenty of people I can refer you to.
right. That's great. I love the community. It's great. So tell me, what are the more common estate planning pitfalls or misunderstanding of the probate process?
Again, we're very exciting right now. This is a very exciting topic. But I think that this is vital for everybody from the single parent, I mean, not the single parent, but parents with small children uh-huh. up to people that have many millions of dollars.
Nobody wants to plan and prepare stuff.
I know. But it is vital for the kids because... Yeah. Let's say that we have a lot of life insurance, and we're thinking that perhaps if I pass away, I want to make sure my spouse, you know, can pay off the house, can keep living how she lives, and has enough money for the kids. What happens with that tragic accident that I have seen where both spouses pass in a car mm-hmm. accident and you leave kids? You cannot allow those kids to get whatever you put
leave
away
it
in
to
your
probate.
Life. Well, you can't have them. Have access to that money at 18 or 21.
Sure.
So we have to implement a trust.
Right.
And some people would think, oh, well, I'll just leave everything in my will to the trust or whatever. Well, it doesn't matter on certain types of accounts, for your retirement account and your life insurance accounts or policies. You have to make sure that you designate the beneficiary form correctly. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to implement a trust to protect your money or something, then you have to make sure that that is correct on those beneficiary forms. So I would say that's the biggest pitfall that I have is that people have incorrectly, or they just don't know what they have labeled as their retirement account beneficiaries and their life insurance beneficiaries. Mm-hmm. And that's a part of the service. If you're going to do estate planning with me, is you bring those forms, everything to my office, and I make sure that the trust, I make sure that the beneficiaries are correctly designated so that we don't have that problem.
Right, and all the loopholes that
yes,
can happen.
Yes, and yeah. all the loopholes that can mm-hmm. happen. I mean, I've seen times where people have not left a beneficiary on a life insurance policy, and they had a terrible accident with lots and lots of medical bills that weren't covered, and only for that reason that they didn't leave designate a beneficiary, all of that money went into the estate and had to pay the bills first, where they just would have said their kids, they would have saved hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Wow.
So I'm not going to say it happens all the time, mm-hmm. but it's so easy and it's inexpensive
right.
to do.
Yeah. Like, and then planning for long-term care
yeah.
too.
Yeah. That's another issue where I would just refer out
to the life insurance person.
Well, I actually know a couple of long-term care specifically insurance agents,
yeah.
but yes, that's very important.
Now tell me, what are some of the most common tax problems you encounter?
People not paying their taxes.
Wow. Yeah.
No. So my caution is to the small business owner who doesn't get a W-2 and doesn't have taxes withheld and has to pay quarterlies. It's very, very easy to make $100,000 and spend $100,000, but when you make $100,000, you don't really bring in $100,000. You bring in $70,000. So budgeting correctly is a gigantic for your small businessman, especially just because all you see the money in your account, it's so hard to not think that you're allowed to spend it.
Sure.
So I urge the small businessman to have a good CPA, make sure that they're budgeting correctly, because that can absolutely hit you. Right now, too, for your high income earner, the Obamacare surtax, you should really be planning for that with your CPA. I mean, you're talking about long term capital gains now, where people think, oh, I'm going to sell my business, or I'm going to sell a lot of stock. And it's not going to be that much. But after a 20% long-term capital gain, after 6% Georgia, after 4% Obamacare tax, 30%. I mean, yeah. People weren't, 4 years ago, that was not, that. No. And I know this is very exciting again, but that was not the...
It is. I mean, it's our money that we've worked really hard for, and it's gone. It's like you earn this money, and then by the time you get it, there's nothing left. So it's not exciting. It's disappointing, right. But... It's something that we definitely need to talk about. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And no, I mean, I don't have a strong political affiliation, but I was listening to Herman Cain the other day, and he said, I think that April 25th, he said, is like tax-free day. Hey, we've all paid off our taxes to the government. Now we're finally able to start paying ourselves. And that resonated with me a little bit.
He's probably I got accurate. A quick question here. Rich Kasson over here. And what about, obviously, that's not probably a play for you for social media, your subject matter, right?
But I do not get very many clients.
Yeah, it's just, it doesn't
media.
Lend itself to that, I wouldn't think, right?
Correct.
But now, so what's your client acquisition model? I mean, how do you, what's your funnel, or how do you bring on new clients, or how do you find those?
Okay. A lot of CPAs, I network with a lot of CPAs. And I also have a great referral source. I'll give a quick nod to Capital Investment Advisors in Sandy Springs, who have the 7:50 a.m. Money Matters show on All Sunday right. mornings, who nice. I work in their building.
Okay.
So if you can imagine, a lot of people who invest money, you know, have questions about their taxes and their estate planning and everything. So it's an incredible working relationship that I have with those guys.
Nice.
But I've very much diversified from the beginning. I used to be a lot more dependent on those referrals. Now it's the more professionals, the CPAs, and word of mouth. Normally,
referrals.
Yeah, referrals from my other clients. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, wow, we're almost out of time.
Yeah, I know.
So would you remind our listeners how the best way to get in touch with you?
Yeah, the best way is either at my office, 404-419-7065, or at www.cibulaslaw.com, CIBULASLAW.com.
Thank you so much for being on here. And
thank
you didn't bring us all down, I promise.
Okay, good. I try to have an upbeat way of talking about these things.
Can you? This is Deb Beecham. Can you spell Cibulas again, please?
Absolutely. C-I-B, B as in boy, U-L-A-S.
Great, thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank
you. Deb, any closing thoughts from you? I know we didn't really interview you, but we appreciated you being on.
I'm excited to get to learn about different areas of the law, and I know some people I need to connect with you and with you. Oh. And we have, you know, Wendy Hayes on as our mm-hmm. financial analyst, and I know she'd probably love to have you on Pro Advocate Radio. So thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure. So this is Atlanta Legal Experts Radio, and this is Emily Rowell, your host, once again. And next week, we look forward to our anniversary show.
Right.
One
the
year.
Attorney General will not be in the building, but we're going to have a big celebration party. It is the one-year anniversary
and we'll
for
be
Atlanta
talking
Legal
about
Experts.
Ale.
Nice. For breakfast. See you then.